You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Where you been, Paul?
Not here. Not my favorite place in the world, which is, of course, on the Wausau Business Show.
In Wausau, Wisconsin,
USA. I've been busy, man. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, first things first, right? Hello, WBSers. We sure missed you all. We're happy to be back. Back with a big show today.
It's been an agonizing couple of months, I'll tell you that.
Agonizing.
Yes, yes. Oh, I've been longing for this microphone back in my face.
Okay, here we go. Episode number 68.
Yeah! Serving
Wausaunians. Now, the Wausau Business Show returns with your Bob and Randy's B&R loving, tea shop shopping, 19th hole swinging hosts, Ryan and Paul.
The Wausau Business Show.
Cause I'm right here,
right here, right here, right here at home. Yeah.
Where's home, Paul?
Yeah, Wausau.
I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. Play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker.
We are back, yeah.
Get my lovin' on the run.
Get our lovin' on the run. You know, yeah. Who's been running? These guys from East Bay.
That's right.
That's why it started.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Big runners.
Welcome to the Wausau Business Show, everybody. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And we are proud to be your hosts here.
Very
back.
Very proud.
Talking East Bay, speaking of runners.
Iconic East Bay, started in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA, for those who don't know.
Art Yedis and Rick Gehring.
That's right.
I got it right. Art and Rick.
The two that started it all.
And you always hear Art and Rick. Art and Rick, it's never really, sometimes it's Rick and Art, I guess.
Sure.
But it's always Rick and Art and Rick, Rick and Art and Rick. And I've heard that my whole life. I've never really met them. I'm looking forward to meeting them in person.
I heard they even sign their checks Art and Rick.
Is that right?
That's what I heard.
They don't do the last name?
We'll have to ask him. But.
Okay.
yeah, no last names, just the first names.
But it's Art and Rick, Rick and Art and Rick. My whole life I've been hearing Art and Rick from East Bay. These guys founded East Bay. They took it public. You know, they made it rich and big and famous. They changed culture in the United States for sneakerheads everywhere.
Absolutely.
And I'm not afraid to admit that I don't know which one is Art and which one is Rick.
Well, we'll find out today.
Like if you had them in a lineup, I would have no idea which one was Art and which one was Rick. And I'm worried that I'm going to mix it up when they get in here. Like, I got to do a map or something. That's
maybe,
Rick, that's Art.
Yeah, write their names down on a piece of paper with,
with
an
arrow.
Pointing, that's Art, that's Rick. Got it. Okay.
Okay. Art and Rick.
Yeah. Just don't let them see it.
So this is an interview we've been waiting for well over a year. We've been talking to them while coming in.
Yep.
Art and Rick.
2025, I believe.
It's been a long time.
And they've been wanting to. And but they wanted to time it right.
They waited for their book. They said, wait for our marvelous book to come out
right.
First. And then we want to come in and we'll talk about the book. And I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. But then I thought, well, you know, is the book really going to happen? And are you really going to come in? And are we waiting around? Is this really going to, you know,
right.
As a good salesperson, I like to follow up and follow through.
That's right.
And we followed up. Yep, the book's coming along. The book's coming along. And sure as
yeah, can you say that? I don't know if we can say that.
They launched this book.
Yeah.
And it's on Harvard Business Review.
Right. Right.
You know, the publisher, it's Harvard Business Review, HBR Books. And that is one of the best business publishers of business books in the world.
I think it might be number one, to be honest with you.
Art and Rick are going to come in, and it's a very nerve-wracking interview for us, I would say.
Do you think I'm wearing the right shoes for these guys?
Perfect.
Okay, good.
Zapatos.
God.
Yeah. They look great.
Thank you.
But, you know, you spend the time with the book, and you don't just want to regurgitate the book. You want to be like, well, if people want to know about the book, they can go and read it. So let's talk about stuff that isn't in the book.
Yeah.
So then what do we talk about? Well, that's their kind of life story
right.
In the book.
Right.
So a lot of mounting pressure here to get this interview right.
I don't even know what questions I'm going to ask. It's nerve-wracking.
Where do you guys bank? We got to start writing these down.
Yeah, yeah.
When was your last colonoscopy?
For example.
just out of the blue.
Yeah, I think they'd appreciate
that question. That's not in the book. It's not in the book.
I don't think they wrote that. I speed read it, if you will, last night because I wanted to be prepared for the interview, as we always do.
Go ahead.
And I couldn't put it down, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it's a good one. A lot of those stories I had heard fragments of over
right.
The years, but this is the complete profile.
And you know, we had Harry Colcord in, and some of the book.
There's a whole chapter called Harry.
Yeah, there's a whole chapter called Harry. It's, I think, just it's chapter 30 or something. I'm making
just
that
titled
up,
Harry, right?
Yeah, titled Harry.
Chapter 13. What's the title of the chapter, Paul?
Harry.
Okay.
That's simple as that.
Yeah.
But we had Harry in, and so when I was reading the book, a lot of what I was reading, or some of what I was reading anyway, Harry came into this very studio and told us about. So this was a little bit of a different perspective on some of the stuff that all you WVSers heard from Harry Colcord when he came in the studio last year.
Yeah, and you don't want to just ask him about that either, because you heard it from Harry.
That's
so
right.
How do you make it a different, fresh interview?
Hmm.
So this will be great.
Yeah, can't wait. We'll be on our toes, Wassa. You know, I say I don't know what the first question I'm going to ask is, but I do, in all seriousness, have so many questions for these guys. True Wausau icons.
Yeah, these guys are business icons in Wausau. Took the company public.
And then sold to Monster Foot Locker on top of that.
Cha-ching. Okay, anything else we need to talk about before we get into the Art and Rick segment? Which one's Art and which one's Rick? I even get their last names sometimes confused.
Yeah,
conflated.
I think when we were talking about having them on last week, you
Art Yiedis and Rick Gehring.
Yingling, you called him at one point.
It's Rick Gehring,
right.
And Art Yiedis.
Correct.
You just always hear Art and Rick. Art and Rick.
Right.
Rick and Art.
Right.
So we'll finally get to the bottom of
Art and Rick saga.
But they're lovebirds.
Yeah.
These two have been stink on shit since they were kids.
Since one of them was 2 days old, if I heard that correctly, yeah. In the book.
These guys have been friends their whole lives.
Yeah, connected at the hip.
And then they got into business together. So let's get into it. Well, you know, we've still got to give that $10,000 away, Paul. That's just unfinished business.
It's burning a hole in my pocket.
Gaining interest is worth a little bit more than $10,000 now.
Yeah, a little bit.
But what did we call that competition?
Friend of a friend competition.
It's been so long. We still got to do that. We got to give the $10,000 away one of these weeks. And we have a new segment that we're doing in season two of the Wausau Business Show.
Here we are. Season two, baby.
That segment is called Where Are They Now?
Oh, I love that. That's a brilliant idea.
You know,
we did
Wausau Business Rumors a lot in season one.
Yeah, season one, the inaugural season.
It's been so long. We're just back and we figured we'd better call it season two.
It's season two. Welcome to season two, everyone.
So where are they now coming up? And a little twist on that is where are they right now?
Oh, like currently at this hour?
This exact second. Like we got to call Dave Craig coming up and see.
Like where are you at 8:04 a.m.
right
Saturday
now,
morning?
Dave Craig, yeah. Friend of the show.
Yep. Okay.
Dave Craig.
Like to hear about
him.
We got to
catch up on some of these people that we haven't talked to in a while. Like Ross Jurgle. He was in a Philadelphia cream cheese commercial.
Right.
During maybe the Super Bowl. Were we on during the Super Bowl? I don't think so. I think he had like a Super Bowl commercial.
He did.
In.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we missed all these fun things, Paul.
I know.
So where are they right now is coming up in the Wausau Business Show.
Can't wait. So are we going to call them up and just say, where are you right now? And Dave Craig's going to say, Lake House in Arizona. We're going to go, thanks, bye.
See you, Dave.
I like it.
Well, we might as well just do it now quick.
Give Dave a call.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Here we go.
He always takes our calls.
This is.
Wonder if he's going to be shot out of a cannon like normal.
Where are they now? Right now.
Play with.
Wausau Business Show wants to know, are they looking at their phone? Are they completely alone? Right now, this instant, right now.
Let's see. Dave with a K. Okay. Yep. Okay. Oh, God. Do you think he's going to pick up?
I hope. I want to know where he is.
Hello?
Hey, Dave.
Dave.
How you doing? It's Ryan and Paul calling from the Wausau Business Show.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. We just were curious what you're doing right now.
Right now, I'm getting a disc put on a trailer for my tractor.
All right.
He's a real man.
I gotta get pretty hard. It's got
wheels. Well, we just wanted to call and say hi, and we're not going to keep you. We were just curious what you were doing right now.
You're funny. Yeah, I just got back here. I've been out to the land and then fixing my dock.
He's the best.
Because the logs get underneath it. So, yeah, I'm working harder now than I did the last 2-3 months.
All right. Love you, buddy.
Good for you, Dave.
We'll talk to you soon. Hope all is well.
Okay.
Take care.
Take care, Dave.
Bye.
Well, now we know what Dave Craig's doing. I told you he'd pick up.
Wasn't sure how that would go.
Yeah.
Where are they?
Right now.
All right, Wausau. We'll be right back. Episode number 68. It's the Wausau Business Show, Season 2. We'll be right back with Art and Rick.
Yeah.
Or is it Rick and Art?
Let's go Art and Rick, Rick and Art.
Remember the Reebok pumps, Paul?
Oh, my God. How can I forget?
Yeah.
I had a pair very proud of.
Oh, they were
worn for years.
Let's go. We'll be right back. All right.
Pump up the jam. Pump it up while your feet are stumping. And the jam is pumping. Look ahead. The crowd is jumping. Pump it up a little more. Get the party going on the dance floor. See, because that's where the party's at. And you find out if you do that.
This is the true story.
True story!
Of two Wausonians
picked to host a business show.
Oh. And have their lives taped.
To find out what happens
when people stop living elsewhere.
Start getting to Wausau.
The Wausau Business Show. Wausau.
The Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
In a landscape carved by billion-year-old glaciers sits a community rich with history and opportunity. A base camp to the outdoors and the Northwoods, where miles of rivers tempt paddlers and the fresh scent of pine fills the air on every trail. A base camp to theater, to the arts, experienced through the color of diverse festivals, farm-to-table and craft beverages. A community that prides itself on Midwest nice and knows how to four-season better than any other. Wisconsin's base camp. Visit Wausau.
Discover the Milk Merchant, nestled in downtown Wausau's River West District, where every selection is curated with care and where every bite tells a story. The Milk Merchant brings you an exquisite collection of Wisconsin and imported cheeses, charcuterie boards, specialty foods, and unique home goods. Our love for quality food drives us to support local dairy farmers and artisans. Stop in to sample a selection of the finest Wisconsin cheeses, from Pleasant Ridge Reserve to the legendary 15-year-age cheddar. Mention this ad for a free wine sample. Let us curate a gift basket perfect for any occasion, or join us in a culinary adventure by signing up for one of our events at themilkmerchant.com.
Let's get down, let's get down to business.
The Wausau Business Show.
Let's get down to business.
Dedicated to Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Hey, help me sing it, homeboy. Come on. Send Coke 45 and 2 zigzags. Baby, that's all we need. We can go to the park after dark, smoke that tumbleweed. As the marijuana burn, we can take our turn singing them dirty rap songs. Stop and hit the bone like Cheech and Chong. We sell tapes from here to Hong Kong. So roll, roll, roll my joint. Pick out the seeds and stems. Feeling high as hell, blind through palm dips. Skating on dangin' rims. So roll, roll the 83 Cadillac coupe to build. If my tapes and my CDs just don't sell, I bet my cabbie will.
It's the Wausau Business Show. I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul. Sorry, I was in the back office with the guys, just catching up on a few things. It's been a few months.
What were you doing? Running payroll or something? Yeah. Good.
Catching up on a lot of things.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are honored to have Rick and Art, Art and Rick here, Rick Gehring and Art Yiedis.
Yeah, welcome, guys.
Yay. Welcome to the Wausau Business Show, gentlemen.
Guys. What an honor.
Jeez, a true, true honor. Finally, after a year. It's been over a year. Has it been over a year?
It's been over a year. We told you we would come on when the book was done. We thought it'd be a long time ago. It's finally done, so we're here. So
clearly, men of your words. So it's a true honor, and I think I speak for everybody that we can say it's an honor that you wrote the book, and thank you on behalf of America, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, and specifically Wausau. I think there's a lot of shout-outs to Wausau in there, which is really cool.
Well, Wausau was extremely big in our lives.
Yeah.
Still is.
You're both Catholic school guys, right? Great schools,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Catholic grade school.
St. Mike's, if I remember, yep.
Whose Diet Mountain Dew is that over there?
That's mine.
That's Art's?
Yeah.
Okay. That stands to reason because I have a special delivery here.
From a special person.
Yeah. She went over to the Wonder Bar and she...
She went to the Wonder Bar to get this for you guys.
She wanted me to get you these Junior Mints. Some Junior Mints and a Diet Mountain Dew. She said it was a regular Mountain Dew, but I got you a Diet Mountain Dew too.
Yeah.
So it's funny that you're still doing the Dew.
Those Dew are a stuff, so they just never quit.
Yeah.
They just keep going.
I've been drinking that since Wally's popcorns.
You should look out the window, Art, because it's hard even talking because we're sitting on top of where Wally's Wonder Bar was.
Oh. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. There's a tear in your eye. I can see it.
You spent a lot of time there.
I know this, but my uncles said that Liberace, when he wasn't called whatever his real name was, he played at Wally's Wonder Bar, the piano.
We have heard that as well.
Yeah.
The great Matt Damon movie.
Tickled the Ivory at Wally's Wonder Bar.
Long gone.
So what's the significance of the Junior Mints? Polly made sure she was a great employee of yours, mentioned in the Book of East Bay, out on Harvard Business Review Press, which is prestigious.
Absolutely.
What's the significance of the Junior Mints and the Mountain Dew?
When Polly first started with us, she was a high school basketball and volleyball player.
Okay.
And I would send her out to Wally's to pick up a Mountain Dew for me. And she probably wasn't supposed to, nowadays they wouldn't let you in the bar, but they did then. She was,
this was,
she
the was early
probably
80s.
16 years old. Yeah, this was probably 1981 or two, so...
Well, and not to put you in a bad light, but I just heard a story that someone told me that Rich Martin, one of our first clothing buyers, he would bring in a box of donuts and a USA Today during product presentations because he knew that he'd only have to deal with me then and not have to worry about your great ideas.
Yeah, great ideas. Well, guys, I mean, it's been decades now since you exited the business and obviously decades since you started the business, too. What have you been up to in the meantime, if you don't mind us asking?
Well, I've been... We were busy on boards and things like that.
Yeah, Community Foundation in North Central Wisconsin.
And Rick always talks about it was impossible to replace, the people we worked with at East Bay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was just, we've looked and it just wasn't quite there. So just have done charitable things. Rick has been much more industrious than I am.
I've been waiting outside Wally's to open up again.
with your trails up north. So
yeah, the Winman Trails in Manitowish Waters.
And Winchester.
Yep. Yeah, Winchester up there. I've been on that with my children. Thank you very much for your generosity.
You're still walking.
And I'm still here.
You made it through the... That's encouraging. Some of those rock gardens are real fun.
I did take a fall. I went head over heels over the front of the bike, but it was wonderful. I laughed the whole time. So, and my children laughed at me as well. But thank you very much for that generosity.
It sounds picture perfect fall.
Great place, yeah.
Some people run into trees or they fall on the side.
Yeah.
It's the head over heels that everybody applauds for. So,
if there's one thing Ryan can do, it's fall well.
Yeah. Well, like you guys.
It's good to have a talent.
Yeah.
You guys fell in love with each other back in, what was it, the 70s, 60s? When did you guys first meet?
1952.
Oh, the 50s.
January 21st. I was 2 days old.
Oh, yeah, that's right, in the hospital.
I was in the hospital, and Rick, our parents said Rick was actually in the bassinet next to me.
You're no kidding.
And did your parents know each other too then?
No, they didn't. But then later,
was a big part of our business.
Yeah, serendipity. Like 3-4 years later, we... Both parents moved kind of close together, a couple houses apart.
Okay.
And outside of my sisters, Rick's, my parents and that, Rick's probably the first person I remember. So
you still remember the first time you kind of did anything fun together?
We haven't done that yet.
So we're still waiting.
Well, if you call fighting fun,
how often are you arguing these days?
Wow. Just on the way in, we really had it out.
We were just standing out in front of your door arguing. I said, this isn't the right play. He said, yeah, this is the right one. So well, show it. Prove it to me.
It's
we rang the doorbell and no one came.
You guys grew up together. You went to Catholic grade school together. You separated, unfortunately. I'm sure those were very hard years when Art, you had to go to UWSP and Rick, you went to Eau Claire, right? Blue Gold, vice versa?
Yeah, Blue Gold.
Okay.
Pointer.
And then you came back together. And you've been together ever since?
Well, we never really left. I mean,
he would come visit me in Point, and I would come visit him in Eau Claire during the college years.
I mean, what?
Those are the big, big hitchhiking years, so it didn't cost that much to get to wherever you were going.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I like that.
What a friendship.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, were there other people that came and went along the way that tried to kind of get into your inner circle and gave Art a run for his money? Or
we still have a lot of good friends from high school and college that we share. So like Bill Roth and Johnny Levandusky and Jer Trudeau, Chico, De La Barbera, all these people.
Oh, there's a bunch of you.
Just a ton.
Were any of the rest of them involved in the business?
No.
Those poor saps. Well,
we do have some. I mean, Rick's brothers were my friends, and they did get involved in the business.
Yeah.
So
you grew up together. You go to school together. You currently live next door to each other up in northern Wisconsin, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
And then down...
Well, not next door, but
a mile, a lake apart.
And then down in Florida, you live close to each other down there as well.
Yep. Dick Johnson has joined you, we understand, down there?
Yep. Yeah. Well, he was the first one there.
Oh, okay.
He's the reason we're down there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, good.
And then you grew up together and you got very, very wealthy together. What a journey.
Certainly not a plan.
Not a plan.
It just kind of happened.
And your best friends after all these years. Well, why don't we, if we could, start at the beginning. The Book of East Bay is out, so we don't want to be too redundant. And I know you're on a publicity tour now, and Yonkey's Bookstore is going to have a line out the block and around it. And what does the rest of the publicity tour look like?
Well, they want us to do a book signing, and they suggested it. And they said, well, we can do it in New York. We can do it in Boston by Harvard and that. And I said, we just kind of said, if we're going to do a book signing, it's just going to be in Wausau. So that's why we're here.
And how it's special, yeah.
Only in Wausau that you did the
book.
Books.
Actually is out the 14th, but it's breaking a little early for this.
At Wisconsin's oldest bookstore.
Oh, really?
Yonkey's Bookstore.
Yeah, and sixth oldest in the whole country.
Pretty well, they cool. were our neighbor.
What a great family tradition.
Wow.
No question about it.
One
of those things that makes Wausau pretty unique.
Absolutely.
What, growing up, I mean, we think about the 80s and we talk about the 80s and 90s in Wausau all the time on the Wausau Business Show. Mm-hmm. And there was Wausau Insurance. Greenheck was taking off. Obviously, it had Wausau Papers. And then East Bay. But East Bay was one that we give credit to for having the most impact on American culture.
The most reach. It's the most recognizable.
I don't know. Having air conditioning and airflow from Greenheck Fan is pretty damn important.
But that's people important. Didn't wait at their mailbox for a Greenheck Fan.
That's true.
Good point. Jordan didn't wait for the Greenheck Fan catalog.
Yeah, Shaq wasn't collecting fans in the 80s and 90s, that's for sure.
So obviously throughout your career, a lot of people probably, I'm imagining, told you guys got to write a book. And it took a long time to get there. Why did it take so long to get this book started?
Our kids had been asking us for years. Because I mean,
can't you see how old we are?
Best friends. We have all these stories. Our wives are best friends. Our families are very good friends. Everything been in each other's weddings. And you guys have to write a book. We've heard all these stories. Please write them down. You know, and all that stuff. So we started out a few years ago. Really just kind of started on just taking it easy. We were just going to write a memoir. And
good way to put it.
Then when East Bay closed down, Foot Locker closed down East Bay, we saw the things online, all these former customers, you know, LeBron James, Shaquille O'Neal, Stephen Curry.
It's Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, all these people came out of the woodwork and said how much they loved getting the East Bay catalog and how much it meant to them, and brought back a lot of memories to us. And we had hired a writer to help us with the memoir. And he says, do you mind if I send this out and maybe, you know, to a publisher or two and see what we think? And so we ended up writing a book. So
and not just any publisher. Harvard Business Review picked it up. And what was it like when that moment happened for you guys? Because obviously Harvard Business Review writes some of the best business books out there and publishes some of the best business books out there. What was it like to be signed to Harvard Business Review?
We were very fortunate. We've had a great editor from Harvard, and Scott Baronato. And he worked hard with our writer, and that's how the book developed. And Harvard in business has a big name.
Yeah.
So I can't go wrong.
Do you consider it in some way a business book?
Or a love story?
Or a little bit of both?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that we have a whole lot of information to pass along to budding entrepreneurs. I mean, we can certainly make stuff up like everyone else does.
Well, the chapter on the inventory problems really hit home with us here at Rocket Industrial, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, that was
thank you.
There are lessons in the inventory issues you had, for sure. And you guys did not see eye to eye on inventory very often, it sounds like.
No, the peripherals, we didn't see eye to eye.
Okay.
And the quantity sometimes and the selection sometimes. But when there were products that were hot, we both jumped in right away full bore. So,
because you're kind of gambling at a certain level. Like at Rocket, we know what our customers want and what they're going to buy, pretty regularly. In your business, putting out that catalog, I mean, it was not only a gamble to put the product placements in the right locations of the catalog, but also to buy the right quantities and feature the right products at the right times. How did you guys come up with that magic?
Well, one of the big things that maybe somebody will take from this book is that this really was the golden years of the athletic industry. I mean,
sure.
All of the things that we see in the athletic industry today was first done in these golden years. Yeah. It was the first shoe that was dedicated to a specific athlete. It was the first year that Nike Air technology came out.
Yeah.
It was the first year the pump came out. It was the first year this Shaq shoe and a Stephen Curry shoe.
So, and the Michael Jordans, yeah.
So we got a front row seat to watch that happen. ESPN started during that time.
Yep.
The internet eventually came along. So we really had a great front row seat to see how all these things integrated and how they all blended together and worked together. And so hopefully you'll see that as you read the book. And that's one of the reasons as we got writing the book, we just said, God, we had a front row seat. Well, let's pass some of this along. So anyone who may want to try something, fix something, start something new, make something better, gets a sense of, in the old days, what it was like.
Well, and it kind of transitioned then from being athletic, about athleticism and shoes for basketball stars, to being mainstream sneaker culture and collectible sneakers. I mean, you walk in and you see some of these people that have hundreds of pairs of sneakers and they keep them in the original boxes, and it's a real culture. I mean, that all was born out of the East Bay catalog and the East Bay movement.
We certainly didn't start the sneakerhead movement. I mean, that was New York and that, but I think...
You poured gasoline on it.
I think...
You got to take credit for that part.
Rick's mission for us was to find the best products for athletes, for young athletes, high school and college athletes.
I thought it was to make a new form of junior mints.
And feel free to dig into those junior mints.
And that's what we always set out to do, whether we started small in northern Wisconsin, and then after a few years, we started with a catalog and went a few states beyond that and a few states beyond that. So we didn't start it, but I think we've been given some credit from some of the sneakerhead people for kind of being the Johnny Appleseed of it and spreading it across the nation and to a couple of other parts of the world.
Yeah, because your catalog was mass media,
at the time, yes,
it was. It publicized it. And obviously, we've talked about this before, but brick and mortar stores could only carry so many shoes.
Yep.
Your catalog was much more prevalent in that regard. What was the most challenging part besides the inventory and besides deciding to sell, which I want to get into that a little bit? But as you were coming up and as the business was really exploding, what was the most difficult part for you two as best friends?
I don't know that we had a difficult part, did we? I
mean, right here on page 84, you guys.
We politely argued.
Yeah, sure. Over tea.
My wife came one day to, I don't know, she was coming to talk to me about something and walking upstairs to our office. And I don't know if it was Judy or... I can't remember.
Or Lisa maybe
said, you don't want to go up there right now.
Speaking of tough times, though, or tough things you had to get through, how about the day when you were right downstairs here, went back in to move the final stuff from the old
location next to Meerman's?
Yeah.
Meerman's in Wausau.
To the new one, and three guys in suits show up.
from Nike and the lawyers?
Well, we knew they didn't work for us because they had nice clothes on and they combed their hair.
$500 suits,
I think they were both, all of them were had just shaved.
So they looked out of place.
So they looked a little out of place.
Right, right. And then that led to a tough time for East Bay. Obviously, you persevered and the rest is history. But what, 6 years not being able to promote Nike Air?
5 or 6 years.
Without Nike.
Without Nike Air. Yeah. We did have Nike. But the Nike Air was 40% of our business.
And they took it away that day.
Yeah. They really didn't know what mail order was. Mail order was brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And they liked us, I think. They liked the team business. They understood that. Nike was very good at that always. But mail order was, it was kind of the Wild West. So looking back at it, we realized they had to get a handle on that.
Yeah.
At the time, weren't quite that happy about it.
And mail order had a certain reputation, kind of. Maybe it wasn't always the most up and up type of business in people's eyes anyway.
At the time, probably not. Yeah. I mean, that was one of the hardest things we had to do at East Bay. And probably one of the best things about being in Wausau, we had to get the trust of the people to order from us.
By that, do you mean if you call in and make an order and give us your credit card, it's actually going to show up? Is that what you mean by trust?
Well, you got to remember in the early 80s, firstly, there probably wasn't a lot of mail order.
Yeah.
Only 50% had a credit card.
Okay.
Yeah. And you wouldn't give your credit card to your mother, a number, much less to some stranger.
Over the phone, yeah.
And I do remember a guy from Boston calling in for, he wanted, I can't remember what shoe it was, but he wanted shoes for his kid. And he says he wanted to talk to the president of the company or the head of the company. So I happened to take the call. And he just said, okay, where are you guys from? I said, well, we're up in northern Wisconsin, Wausau, Wisconsin. He says, I'm going to give you my credit card, but I want you guys, you know, I would never give this to anybody in New York or California, but you're in middle Wisconsin. We'll trust you.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. I think you called it the Midwest trustee.
And Wisconsin, you know, Wausau, Wisconsin, you're trying to build trust. The people in Wausau was the number one rule is always a golden rule. Treat people the way you want to be treated, which I'm sure you guys have found with the people you have.
Yeah.
And work hard. And it was, again, as Rick said, so many things were just perfect for what we wanted to do and how we grew. It worked out well.
So it just sort of blossomed and got bigger and bigger in the radius throughout the area of Wausau and then the Midwest and then nationally from there.
First of all, Wausau never got the catalog.
Well, Wausau got a visit from you two, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. So the local area, we didn't get it because we had, so we started with $4,000. We had so little money in that. Mm-hmm. So we keep working, keep putting things into inventory, which you guys probably do a lot of that, your profits. And
unfortunately.
touchy subject.
You know, and it was always, you know, like how much, you know, we have to have the inventory. If we're going to send a catalog to somebody, they can't get a picture and say, oh, we don't have that.
Right.
So we would try to grow sequentially across the United States. We'd add another 5 or 10 states as we felt better and did that. And remember when we sent these, there's no kids to send it to. When we sent it out, there were just, if we sent out another 5 states, it was just to the coaches.
Okay.
Coaches in basketball, coaches in track. And it worked organically from there. We went from one person individual to 5 million individuals, high school eligible individuals.
And more after we left as the company continued to grow.
So you grew this database, basically, of recipients of your catalog. I mean, that must have, in and of itself, had a ton of value.
Harry brought that up, too, as well, where it was you guys knew exactly where the athletes were, where the best athletes were, and what their addresses were for the coaches as well, right?
No, not necessarily. It was really, it was like Art said, it's pretty organic. And so we were got to the point when we finally got our new software system, the one that took us from 87 till we left, and then the Foot Locker changed over after they sold. But anyway.
ERP system kind of deal? Or?
I think so.
What was it called?
Sigma Micro, a guy by the name of Al Langsenkamp.
Hey, Al.
The University of Indiana. Yeah, thanks, Al. Thank you.
Worked out well. But yeah.
It was amazing. So we could track who bought, how often, what did they buy, where do they live.
Yeah.
And you start, you know, one of the things that really helped us grow, as Art said, is because it was organic. One kid would tell another kid.
Yeah.
Or one kid would steal it from another kid.
Right. Yeah.
Or one teacher would steal it from a kid in class inside of his textbook and leave it it on his desk and somebody would steal it from his desk and give it to another kid.
Well, this catalog right here was probably stolen. This is your, let's see, it's your January of 97 issue, I believe it was. It went to the Crystal Johnson. We've referenced this before. Right. Crystal Johnson got this one from you guys. She lives at, she lived at 7702 New York Drive in Tampa, Florida.
In fact, we just saw her, didn't we?
Hi, Crystal.
Wasn't she in Naples? Didn't she, wasn't she at the restaurant?
Yeah,
I think she was down there.
Or current resident, of course.
Yes.
So the catalog would go out, and one of the my favorite parts of the book is on page 101, where the catalog would go out, and it would hit the mailboxes, and it says, there were times in those days where we'd run out of people to answer the phones ringing. We'd yell for anyone who was working, whatever they were doing. They were told to just answer a call. We need everyone on the phones. We'd holler and people would come scrambling from the basement to help. I mean,
that's, that had to be exciting and nerve wracking.
Yes. And we, Rick and I would get on the phones too. We were the slowest order takers in the world. We probably didn't help too much.
Well, no one could read our writing when we first started, so we had to rewrite orders like 6 or 7 times.
And then later when we typed, it was even slower. So
darn nuns and their rulers over your knuckles.
Darn
just don't
nuns.
Work like they. No,
great nuns.
Sure. Yeah, good, great nuns.
But I mean, the call center itself exploded. So when you guys exited the business, there were hundreds of people in Wausau and Appleton that were just taking phone calls basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for East Bay Shoes, correct
probably,
me if I'm
probably
wrong.
2,000, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm, yeah. Between that and
2,000. 1-800-826
2205. 2205. Yes. Nice job, Rick.
Rick remembers all I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah, but can you guys tell us about the flipping of coins to make some decisions? Is that fair to say?
Just once?
Just once.
Just once.
It was a pretty big one, though.
it was sizable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was sizable.
And that was a flipping of the coin to sell to Foot Locker and Woolworth?
Rick doesn't want to give it away.
You got to keep them hanging. That's a good point. We can't give it all away.
All right. We won't give that away. But let's talk about the decision to sell to Foot Locker, because it was a very sad moment.
And a little bit of a letdown, kind of.
Yeah, we've kind of felt that emotionally, I think. In the book, where obviously this was your baby to a certain extent, and you guys had to take this thing public or not, and it was obviously a financial decision as well.
And for 20 years, you're go, constantly, and all of a sudden it's like,
So how old are your kids?
Maybe we didn't write the book clear enough, but that's not really how it happened.
That's not how you felt.
No, that's not how. That's
maybe
not
that's how I interpreted it as a just a little bit of like we don't.
Well, maybe that's the value of the book. Everyone will get a different feeling and a different sense of direction.
It's like a beautiful song. You interpret it any way you want to interpret it.
How old are your children?
Six and eight. Seven and
eight
ten.
And ten.
Okay.
So there's going to be a day that you're going to have to let them go to college and get a job and stuff like that. And it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
But eventually you're going to say, you have to let them do this for them to be their best. And I think that's what we were struggling with. Which way was the best way to go? There were a couple really good ways. And we decided the best thing for East Bay, at least in my mind, was to partner up with Foot Locker. Rick wanted to start, one of the ideas was to start a lot of stores and that, for help our growth. And, and we'd actually thought of saying, well, maybe we should call Foot Locker, maybe we can partner up with them. Mm-hmm. Well, they had already been trying to buy us before that. And when we went public, it wasn't within, 5 months that they started coming back and wanted to buy us again.
With a much better price, if I may add.
It was okay, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Inflation,
It was just inflation.
Inflation will do that to you.
Emotional, though, right? I mean, it's your families and...
Well, we got a start on it when we went public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we lost the flexibility more there than we did when we sold the Foot Locker.
Because of the SEC public and public people and shareholders
and hitting your quarter numbers and everything else. And it took away a little bit of, our whole life had been at East Bay, was lived in a risk.
Yeah.
We were undercapitalized, we were growing like wildfire. Right. And so trying to marry those two and making sure that we can put enough product in the catalog to make sales keep growing, and at the same time, take money away from the catalog and put it into inventory.
Yeah.
So if somebody calls for something, we got it. It was a tug and pull from day one.
And First American, and which became M&I, I believe, right? Yep. Was that your bank then?
Originally.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. And were they, obviously, they were pretty good partners in helping you finance that growth, I'm assuming.
Yep. And also then U.S. Bank too. So yeah, it's really strange. Rick talks about going public. We were always undercapitalized. You're growing so fast, you have to have capital. You have to keep money pouring in. We didn't quite understand that. Uh-huh. You know, it was so hard to get a grip on. And then when we went public, I mean, before that, we had a personal loan for $20 million. Mm. You know, so I mean, if you, obviously, if you go out of business, where, yeah.
You forgot,
you didn't
to
tell me. But it was strange.
You signed on that?
As entrepreneurs, we just kept saying, that's fine, that's fine.
Fighting.
But suddenly you go public, and now you're risking, you know, people, general people that you know around here, it's their money. I felt worse risking their money than I did taking the risk when it was just our risk.
Oh, yeah.
So that was strange, too.
I never thought of it that way, but what a great perspective to say.
When we started, we keep saying we had a front row seat. Back when we first started, opening stores was a big deal to companies.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But towards the middle to late 80s, it wasn't so exciting anymore because they had the stores open.
Mm-hmm.
And so during the growth of the athletic industry, part of their growth was going from having a lot of extra inventory because they're always trying to open stores. And as the stores got open, they pulled back because they knew financially they couldn't have that much inventory they couldn't take a risk.
Right. Yeah.
So we were able and got lucky through, I think Art had the idea, but we were able in the early years to live off of that excess inventory they had because we could order. We knew how many schools we were going to. We knew how many catalogs we sent out. We knew how many orders we were getting from those catalogs.
And what color they were.
And we knew what percentage basketball versus baseball versus volleyball versus, you know, my sandals that I sat with on my desk getting a suntan looking orange like, you know, other people.
Yeah.
And we would order from their team bank almost on a daily basis. So we knew we were going to five more schools the next 2 days. So we knew about how many shoes we would sell. We would make up an order for those shoes. They would come in after we finished at the schools and we have 30 days to pay for it. So they literally financed our inventory growth until they got to the point where they went public and they had to be more financially stable or financially responsible. So again, we were there at the right time doing the right kind of thing, and it allowed us to use their money to grow our inventory, which helped us make more catalogs.
Sure, yeah. Can we talk about what each of you were responsible for? Can you guys elaborate maybe even more than in the book a little bit? But I know, Rick, you were responsible for kind of the marketing side, but typically, you know, in the Harvard Business Review books that I've read, there tends to be somebody that is more the operational side and somebody that's more on the kind of visionary creative side. And then maybe there's a finance person or something like that.
No.
Who played those roles, or did you share those roles?
We were just one person.
Yeah. With one mind.
It was pretty much, I mean, I probably tended more towards the operational to the creative.
Uh-huh.
I was probably more into the buying and inventory, but we both did both all the time. Rick is, it was the perfect combination because Rick's a perfectionist, dreams up a lot of ideas. I'm the one who wants it done now.
Yeah.
So when you put those two together, I mean, you know, someone who's like myself, I'm happy with good, which is the opposite of great, you know, it's the enemy of great.
Don't let perfection get in the way of progress.
Perfection is a little bit of the enemy of getting things done.
Yeah.
So between the two of us, we did a pretty good job together.
Well, I know.
And always together.
I know Polly, who delivered those Junior Mints in your Mountain Dew, and I know Polly well enough to know that she knows how to get things done. So,
she did. Yeah.
We had so many people do that. I mean, we just were so fortunate that three of my brothers were in between jobs or had just graduated and were looking. And and Polly was a wonderful thing. Coaches would recommend people to us, which was a big help.
Yeah.
We got kids from Marathon and Edgar.
Oh, yeah.
Who would come in and
it's pronounced Meriton, but
Meriton. Yeah, Meriton. Meriton Ski and DC Everest. And so we got people who could work under pressure, who were used to being told what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Just kidding, by coaches. But they made wonderful employees, and they were athletes themselves. So when they could see that we were servicing athletes, they were so wonderful to buy into the culture and buy into the vision.
And, well, you stuck with that model your whole time, right? Like, let's hire athletes. Those are our employees.
Well, you remember, we only had 5 million customers when we left. And I don't know, did it get to 9 million?
Don't know.
By the time it closed, I can't remember. But there's, 318 more million out there that we didn't have. So,
Well, I know when we were going to Wausau West High School, it seemed like every other kid either worked at the telephone call center or at your distribution center. And all of them would kind of whisper throughout the halls of Wausau West, "Hey, Jerry Seinfeld bought some shoes for me yesterday."
I heard David Letterman one year.
David Letterman was on the list. Every other day, someone would come in with a story about who bought,
who called into East Bay,
and I'm sure 1/10 was true. But do you guys still jog together?
We walk now.
Now you walk.
So usually with our wives, so we'll get together and walk, but we have dinner a lot together, that type of thing. So Rick's daughter the other day said, "I don't think I remember a day in my life where you guys did not talk."
That's a special relationship and a bond.
And you guys are good friends too with the business, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah, there's some parallels.
Now,
it can be done.
Who's closer to Phil Knight and Kevin Plank? Or are you guys still friends with those guys? Or Phil Knight, the founder of Nike, and Kevin Plank, the founder of Under Armour? No,
Phil was... It was hard on us, but he was very good to us. Yeah. And we're not friends with Phil. He's probably in a... He's with the Elon Musk of the world and that type of thing.
Okay.
And you two don't roll with Elon Musk then, in other words?
I mean, the last time, it's in the book, the last time, I think one of the last times we saw Phil, he came over and said, it's after we went public, he says, "Now, isn't this much better than suing each other?
Yes, so, great line from the book.
So.
But Kevin Plank, the founder of Under Armour, has some nice things to say about you in the book and on the back of the book. You guys were credited for allowing Under Armour to take off.
Well, part of it, I mean, you remember who our list was. There were 12 to 24-year-olds, and a vast, vast majority of them were athletes who were trying to be as good an athlete as they possibly could. And Kevin came out with some truly amazing new products that made their working out that much more comfortable and look better at the same time, which you can't go wrong if you can look better and get in better shape at the same time.
Yeah, amen to
with
that.
With a great name.
Yeah.
I always tell Kevin, I says, when you came in and our buyer pulls us out and so we could look at the stuff, and I says, "Under Armour, what a great name." I hated it. So why didn't we come up with that? So,
Well, I know how you came up with the name East Bay, because it was the Milwaukee store. But have you been in this office that we're sitting in right now before?
Couple times with Jim Dockery from Nike.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a significance to the office that we're sitting in here. And
we wouldn't be here.
I get a little emotional here all of a sudden, but we wouldn't be in this beautiful office had it not been for you guys. Because Nike came in here because of East Bay and Foot Locker, and they set up showrooms in this office prior to us being in here that were exact replicas of their Foot Locker stores, and they would invite East Bay and Foot Locker buyers in here to sell them shoes. And so this became a office that Nike gave us a song and a dance on, because it was all done before we moved in, and they had a beautiful office in here, and the only reason they were here was because of what you two started. So the only reason we are here in this office is because of you two in a roundabout way.
So you could have had nicer walls without the paint peeling and the chipping in the corners. I mean, you probably could have really had a nice place. So we apologize.
Well,
so sorry.
When we were in the facility, it was a little bit different seeing that than when they would open their bag and throw the new Air Jordan on the floor and say, "Oh, here's our new shoes for this next 6 months from now." So,
And that's part of the evolution of the industry that we talk about. Again, being in that front row seat, we got to see them grow up and learn what the best techniques for their company was to send out reps to sell goods.
I mean, they were growing and learning too, along with you guys.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, they're a big company, but you know, in 87, when they did what they did with their decision to not allow you to put Nike Air in the catalog, they'd probably changed and evolved in 92 or 93 when they said, let's do it finally again. Yeah. I mean, they were probably a different company.
It's amazing that Wausaunian Dick Johnson, who you're still friends with, hired by you guys and Harry along the way, became president, CEO, right? Well, right after Harry.
Yeah, after Harry left,
Yeah, after Harry left, Dick Johnson was the president and CEO. You guys took it public, then sold to Foot Locker. Dick Johnson was around the whole time. You guys depart the company, and Dick Johnson winds up going from East Bay to Foot Locker and winds up being the global CEO of Foot Locker for many, many years, growing their business by billions and billions of dollars, all because of you two.
Well, just when we left, Harry was president then.
Yeah.
And then when he left, Dick took over.
So that's the sequence of events. Yep. But Dick became global CEO and just retired a handful of years ago, right? From Foot Locker?
Well, Dick did that on his own. He's a class act, and he was super talented. He came in to our buying department at the time and really helped put some structure to it that allowed us to take even more risks, educated risks, and helped our buyers become even better at what they were doing. But he's a class act. I think he's, you hear stories, but I think he's been rated the best CEO of Foot Locker, Woolworth, or whatever.
Yeah.
We were lucky enough to go on vacation with him a couple years ago to Italy, and he had retired, and he was still going into stores, and the store managers were just foaming at the mouth to see him.
because they have Foot Lockers all over the world.
Yeah. But they knew who he was. Dick had the reputation of touring the most stores of any CEO in Foot Locker history.
Oh,
he loved being out in the stores. He loved talking to the people, getting to know who they are.
Yeah.
He's a smart guy, class act.
Do you guys miss East Bay and your days there?
No, not anymore.
No?
For first, 10 minutes after we left?
I don't believe it.
So when you read in the book, one of the things when we had dinner with Harold Baines, mm-hmm. Baseball player, Hall of Famer, and I'll just never forget asking him, like, well, you're so fortunate. How do you feel to be able to play baseball at the level you did? And he goes, Art, this is a great life. I'm blessed. And he was there with his wife, and he says, but I, you know, it's a lot of travel, and I really miss my wife and kids. Mm-hmm. So I think our priorities have always been our family. Mm-hmm. And so when we moved on, it was, you know, we became a little more, after our 12-hour days for 20 years, it became a little more time help, you know, at home and helping with the family, I think. Rick learned how to, I think, dust the floor too then.
That's a talent.
They have those robot vacuums now. I can sit in my chair and just watch it go.
You learn how to change the batteries in that thing.
You guys can afford a couple of those robots now, right?
No, I lost my train of thought. Well, that's all right.
Well, you must miss something about what you left behind and chose to leave behind. And what are those things?
No, it's just like Wausau. You don't have to be here to be home. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's the same as with East Bay. The memories are so strong, mm-hmm. That you don't have to be there to do it. And it was so fun to watch from the outside to see some of these people just grow up and go from a doer of things, as Polly called them, mm-hmm. to really finding a niche. And we had people who stayed there for over 30 years, mm-hmm. and probably had 7 or 8 jobs along the way until they finally found where they fit the best. And then they just luckily bought into the vision and stayed. But when we were starting, we didn't have kids.
Right.
Yours are what? Yours are 85, 80, and you have 85, 86. I have an 86, and then an 88, and you have an 87. So
I think we covered the whole decade.
But the point being that they were so young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the time it was time for us to go, they were at the time when we could start coaching again. Mm. They were at the ages that we could get back on the ice, or we could go to the baseball diamond or the soccer fields, and that really made a difference in not having to miss East Bay too much. Okay. But it was the best job. We've talked about it. We couldn't imagine a job being better.
Yeah.
And we couldn't imagine people pulling together like that for that long a period of time it ruined our lives because we couldn't go on after. We didn't want to do anything else because we couldn't take the people away.
Yeah.
It was tremendous fun.
Yeah. And you said that there were people that worked there for 30 years and poured their heart and souls into East Bay's success and loved it. I know Polly in the book, she's quoted as saying, some people want to go back to high school or college. I want to go back to East Bay.
They were great days.
If you guys had a couple words to say to all of the employees that you had over the years, what would those words be?
Well, just
how much time do we have? When do you have to go? Do you have kids? Do you have to be home soon for dinner or something?
Plenty of time. Happy hours coming up, but other than that, nothing.
Just, boy, thanks for being great teammates. We had a great team, and everybody pitched in and did it.
Mm-hmm. And it was so fun to watch them believe in themselves and believe in what we were doing. And those are two special things because you can do one without the other, but you very rarely see it together. And those people made it happen. That's one of the things that we kind of kept us from writing the book is we didn't want to be the East Bay story.
Yeah.
Art and I. We wanted the people who work there to be the East Bay story. They're the ones that deserve to have the book written about them and not Art and I.
Well, you mentioned a ton of people in the book.
They're made up names.
We haven't fact checked it yet because we don't do that.
Never have, never will.
But they're just examples of, a lot of them from the early days. I mean, do you look more fondly back at those early 80s, mid 80s days than you do towards the end of your run? Or is it all just a growing animal and you loved every minute of it?
Loved every minute.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was
hard. First, we didn't make any money the first few years. You kind of wonder like, what do you know? Think about this. So our wives were supporting us. So, if you're an entrepreneur, make sure you have a good support group.
And during the run, we had like 8 or 9 different business plans. Mm-hmm. So it's like we started 8 or 9 different businesses along the way.
Yeah, pivot.
All
pivot.
Under the same name. And it everyone has its own special memories.
And all along the way, especially in the beginning, you had people second guess you and say,
naysayers.
They're doomed for, forget the quote exactly.
My father-in-law, yes.
Yeah. Leave it to the in-laws.
Is that Doc Molinari?
Molinaro,
Well, you'll see in the book, it goes back to, as we were talking about Greenheck, Bob Greenheck told AJ Molinaro, let Art do this. This is going to be okay.
Yeah.
So,
they come around eventually.
Another visionary saw.
Eventually, once
saw what other visionaries see.
Yeah.
Guys, unfortunately, we're out of time. I hope you can come back next week and we'll do part 2.
That was a quick hour. Wow.
That was awesome.
What you do here is really cool and you do it really very, very well. So, thanks.
Thank you.
Well, we love Wausau and we do it for you and it's been an honor. Thank you very much.
Good to have you guys.
The Book of East Bay, everybody.
Junior Mitch for everyone.
Junior Mitch for everybody. Yeah.
Walk through closet doors and roam all over Coliseum floors. I stepped on stage at Live Aid. All the people gave and the poor got paid. And out of the speakers, I did speak. I wore my sneakers, but I'm not a sneak. My Adidas hurts the sand of a foreign land. With Mike in hand, I told to command. My Adidas and she close as can be. We make a mean team, my Adidas and me. We get around together, we drive forever. And we won't be mad, we're born in bad.
Thanks for listening to the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
The Wausau Business Show.
Dedicated to Wausonians from Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
What does it take to run a successful business? It takes incredible courage to start at the beginning. Incredible grit to achieve success. Incredible determination to sustain results. And incredible perseverance to leave a legacy. But most importantly, it takes an incredible local partner dedicated to helping you achieve your goals. At Incredible Bank, we are that partner. Let us help your business do the incredible. Incredible Bank, member FDIC.
The Wausau Business Show.
Episode 68.
I can't believe we've made it.
Where are they now? Where are they right now?
Currently. In the present moment, we need to know.
Of course he picked up.
Obviously.
He's the best. Who's on the show next week, Paul?
Well, we're going to have Art and Rick back next week. We didn't get to finish up, so they're walking out right now. See you guys.
Bye-bye, guys.
But they're going to come back, they said, next week.
First time that we've extended for 2 weeks.
Yep.
Talking about one business.
Right.
One Wausau business.
Well, if it's going to be one Wausau business, I put East Bay right at the top of that
Amen,
list.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
So until next week, it's good to be back.
Good to be back. Season two.
Now, how does the end go again?
You always say from high atop a certain place.
Okay. Our favorite place.
Right.
From high atop Rib Mountain.
Good job.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show transmission.
The end.
I like the snake skin, I like them buckaroos. I like my leather shined up with a shade of blue. I like the black cherry alligator pointed toe. I wear them out till there's holes on the outsole. They go at everything, I take them everywhere. Little mama came with a man, but she still staring. Damn, I probably don't need no more. But the second I walk through the door, I tell them give me 2 pairs of Luke KC's, all white shirt and some vodka jeans. I go all night stomping to the beat. I just gotta check, blow it all on my feet. Like, oh, 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 ain't shit you can tell me. I feel like Nelly. Give me 2 pairs of Luke KC's, all white shirt and some vodka jeans.
This has been a Wausau Business Show transmission. All rights reserved. 2026.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.